pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I want to welcome everybody tonight. First on the agenda is roll call, and we have everybody here tonight. And now 1.4, citizen input. Do we have anybody that'd like to address the citizen or the council on council issues? Anybody? Okay, then we'll go to number 2, approval agenda. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Charles?
Second.
Okay, Charles first, Mark Snyder second. Any discussion or questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same. Okay, that passes. Consent agenda. I hear a motion on that.
I'll make a motion.
Okay, Ken Johnson first.
Who's second?
Dan second on
whoever.
Approving that. Any discussion or comments? No? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same. Okay, good. Now we'll move down to, come on, let's go down there. Current business, employee recognition, Eamon Sheldon.
Come on.
Hey. We'd like to read a little bit about Eamon and his history. So, Mr. Sheldon graduated from UCLA and the University of Waukee with degrees in political science and military science. He was an Army military serving our country for 7 years. He reached the rank of captain for his helicopter pilots. He has worked for municipalities as city manager and administrator for 3 years and came to work at the City of LaFell in 2002 under three different mayors. Mr. Sheldon has been instrumental in effecting many changes in our city, including the fire station, the aquatic center, of course, the street improvements, Main Street in particular, setting efficiency standards in the City Hall. Of course, for 10 years, he has brought in $1.2 million in grants or loans. And I was sitting there thinking about this. Over the years, he has been very active in the community organizations in particular. You know, from beautification to a lot of them, making sure that he helps them organize, helps them seek finances, helps them keep going in a positive direction. He's been very strong helping organizations. Over the 8 years that I've been on the council and 2 years as mayor, he's been very dependable for us. We needed information, he found information for us, got it to us in a timely fashion. He's been a person we've been able to rely upon, and that's a big asset for us that are citizens that are being elected into a position. So it's been nice having that. And also, as being mayor the last 2 years, getting to know even more, I appreciate I've been able to bounce things off and ideas. You know, that I've had at times. Sometimes you look and you go, what do you like? Other times he gets excited and takes up the cause of whoever it is and helps me get organized and do all those things. So, you know, I just want to present his plaque and great, you know, his dedication to our community and say thank you very much for all he's done in life. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, 4.2, handbill ordinance. I believe that is Eamon, is that you?
I'd be glad to introduce the mayor. This is a result of some discussion at a previous council meeting. Councilmember Johnson indicated that we need to take a look at an ordinance that prohibits basically littering our streets and prohibiting, in some fashion, all the handbills or newspapers or what have you that are thrown off of trucks just around in everybody's yard, on the sidewalks, in the gutters. So you have before you a handbill that addresses it, and maybe not exactly the way you want. So I would ask that you hold a discussion tonight, we not make a motion. There are a couple things we need to correct in it or look at. So if you could tell us as staff what your concerns are, what you'd like to see in this, we can bring it back to you at the next meeting. There is one piece in here. Down in section 5.04, talks about the violation and penalty. And there's a blank down there. Just keep going, Rebecca, a little bit more. A little bit more. Right there. See, it says C dash, and there's a blank there. Well, that's out of your municipal code where you have the opportunity to set a fee schedule. And you should all have one of these at your desk. So this is where you pick the level of violation translated into money that you would like to see in the code. So those are the points to discuss. What does this mean? Definition, does it do what you want it to do? Do you want it to do something different? And if so, please share those thoughts, and we'll take notes, and then we'll incorporate those into another ordinance for you.
Okay, any questions or thoughts? I guess a couple I had was, it might not be worth doing this, but one that I have, is there a way to, let's say the school is putting on a harvest party around, Halloween, and they call it a harvest party. So is there a way for them to go around, post things or whatever out, where they have to come back and clean it back off the, you know, wherever they put them up and things like that? And I was reading this, it seems like we can't really do that, or a church doing an evangelist coming to town, or I don't know. You know, I'm just throwing thoughts out here.
It is pretty much all-inclusive, as you're indicating. Did you want to talk about exemption?
Yeah, I just wanted to offer a few comments about issues that are raised by handbill ordinances, and they've been the subject of court case debates for almost a century now. Handbills arose as a means of getting news out to people from organizations that traditionally don't have the funding to do mailing through the U.S. Post Office or formal advertising. So a lot of times it's from youth organizations or charitable organizations, but what we do get a lot of these days is we get a lot of advertisements, people who are advertising services, they're advertising events, they're advertising a concert, what have you. And the biggest objection that cities have had to handbills is either they're being posted on city property like utility poles or on our sides of our buildings or something like that, or they're being distributed, either tossed into the street or left under people's windshield wipers on their cars, or left in stacks where they get blown away into a public street and cause litter. You run up against constitutional issues with freedom of speech because, for the most part, public properties are considered opportunities for public forum and free speech. Seattle had a case where they adopted an ordinance that prohibited the posting of handbills on city property. So that included city kiosks, city bus shelters, city utility poles, city, anything that you could attach an advertisement to, they prohibited it as long as it was city property. That was challenged up to our Washington State Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court found that it was constitutional because the city had a proprietary legitimate interest in protecting its city property, and the city provided for basically community kiosks elsewhere where you could post your advertisements where people could go and look. And some communities you'll see have that for garage sales. They don't want them being posted on utility poles or independent signs, but they've got a community bulletin board for that purpose. So when you look at a handbill ordinance, you're looking at it more from the standpoint of how can the city justify it. If your purpose is to prohibit the littering aspect, then that's more what this draft is intended to prohibit. And that would prohibit your local organizations like that from doing the same thing. Everybody would be treated equally, whether they were an advertisement for a for-profit or a youth group advertising their harvest party. The other type of ordinance that some cities have chosen is one that goes even further and prohibits distribution of handbills on private property or vacant property. And a lot of times you'll see maybe a house that's not being occupied and they've got a lot of these stacking up on their front porch or being shoved in their mailbox and they're slopping out into the yard and maybe into the street. When you're dealing with prohibiting that activity on private property, then you get into yet another layer of issues. It is possible, so we really just need direction on whether it's a littering issue for you or if you want to go onto private property and prevent that from being distributed on private property. The one thing that you have to allow is that somebody can stand in a public way and hand out the handbills to willing people that want to take them. They can approach vehicles as long as they're not impeding traffic in a public right-of-way and distribute those handbills. What we're after more from the city standpoint, I think, is to prevent it from being a littering issue and to prevent it from being attached to city property as a means of display. Because it costs the city money then to monitor that and take those things down. Sometimes it actually does damage to the surface of whatever it's being attached to.
And when I first brought this, my purpose is on the private property. All the stuff I went and gathered up was within a 4 to 5 block, I mean a 4 to 5 house area within my block. And I do have one of those empty houses across the street, and they've piled up over there, and I'll go over and pick them up just so they don't cause litter. And it's the commercial advertisements that it is. And that's what I would like to see the direction is of the commercial advertisements that are just being thrown onto private property and just left out there. A lot of the homeowners, I can't answer for all the homeowners, but you could drive around on a Tuesday and Wednesday and see all these things laying out on the street. And a couple days later, you'll see them run over and smashed down, and they don't pick them up, especially during the winter months. They get wet before you even get an opportunity to get them.
Okay, and that raises a couple different issues. Number one, if they're commercial advertisements, those people need to be getting business licenses, and you know if they're doing business in town. So that is one way of tracking, because a lot of those business owners are not getting business licenses. Many of them are actually out of town people who come in, and they're targeting residential households as their primary market. And that's how they save on advertising costs, is they literally go door to door. And some of them actually get kind of aggressive with particularly our more vulnerable population. We've had situations in some of my other cities where you'll get these that come through, and they'll kind of prey on the elderly or the people who maybe are a little more vulnerable to that type of high sales pitch. So there are legitimate interests in regulating that, one from the business license aspect, but then number two from the littering aspect. And that one is a little more difficult to deal with. There are some ordinances out there in Washington. To my knowledge, they have not been tested in the courts yet, but they do address the handbills on private property and the handbills on vacant private property. There are certain requirements that the landowners have to undertake, you know, like posting their property to say that they don't want solicitors and they don't want those kinds of sales, people coming to their door. So there's only a limited amount that the city can do on private property. But it is, if you want to look at that, I can bring you back the language that addresses the private property as well.
Yeah, a couple comments here. One is like what you're saying. Do we totally ban everything from going into the private property? I mean, that kind of hurts the legitimate business people when they actually want to put a flyer out or whatever. And it used to be that they took pretty well care of those, but like you're saying, they're throwing them anywhere and everywhere. And I know we made a comment in here about getting approval from City Hall before you do some of that. And maybe that would help if at least they got the okay to put their brochure or whatever out, and maybe that would help that portion. Another issue is, what do you do with political times when you have elections and whatnot? There's a lot of handbills that go out, or door hangers, whatever. Somebody's not home, they stick it in the door, whatever. I mean, I don't think we want to totally jeopardize that from happening. Maybe it's a good deal in some ways, but I think a lot of times you need that stuff out for people to know what's going on too. So it's something that you gotta figure out how to regulate that too in the same manner. I understand the sign situation and everything, you know, on private property or commercial property, and city property or whatever, how you regulate that. But when you're actually talking about the brochure themselves, that's a different item. Sure, you can hand it to a person, but if they're not there at the door to get that, then you can be hanging on the door knob. So it's another issue that we've got to look at too.
So is there a way to pass a bill that does not permit commercial something but still allows community events or something, posting, or I'm not sure? Or once you pass something, it affects everything?
The commercial aspect, you could tie some additional requirements under your business license ordinance, because they would have to obtain a business license, whereas the event people, the youth groups that are just advertising an event, wouldn't need a business license for that purpose. But as far as allowing them to be distributed, you're going to have to treat commercial the same as you would the youth groups or the church groups or the beautification committee if they were handing out flyers.
I think part of the problem is these shoppers that come. I think there's a lot of them that you had.
Yep.
I don't know if those people get paid by the paper that they throw out or what. Because, like he's saying, you know, people go down south for the winter, and if those papers don't get picked up, they're going to have, you know, one a week sitting out in their driveway. You know, you would think those people would notice, okay, there's five papers there, maybe I shouldn't throw another one there, but I think they're getting paid by the paper, so that's why they just keep throwing them there.
Yeah, and newspapers are in a different category altogether because they're subject to a mailing permit.
And that's basically what I'm addressing. It was my concern was the newspaper, the shoppers that are being thrown out, because the small individual paper being handed out by the politician or the civic group going around doing the advertisement, at least they will take the efforts to shove them in your door or like that, and then you at least got the chance to get them. It's the ones that are being just thrown right out in the front lawn or the curbside that...
I had a shopper in my lawn this afternoon when I got home from work.
Yeah.
And that's published by the newspaper?
Yes.
Yeah. To play devil's advocate, I guess, is it going to be any more effective than the city ordinance against people putting up yard sale signs? They're supposed to be taken down within a day. And so the yard sale is on Friday and Saturday, and you drive downtown on Tuesday or through the neighborhood. There's yard sale signs sticking out there with a box with a rock in it. They don't pick them up. The other thing you're going to do is you're loading something else on your code enforcement officer. He's got quite a bit to do now. He's going to spend all his time driving around writing things for people that throw stuff out. And again, is it going to be any more effective than the ordinance against, you know, yard sale signs than against this? I don't like the flyers. I don't like the advertisement things that come out every Wednesday, I guess it is. It ends up in my driveway or up in my yard. And it used to be about a year ago, kid brought it. His mother hauled him around. He got out of the car, took it up, put it on the porch. Okay, and that's one thing. But drive by and throw him out. Hey, my newspaper guy does the same thing. He goes by every morning at 3 o'clock in the morning, throws the paper on the driveway. And even if I put it in a box, I don't think he'd stop. So, you know, I understand the reason, and I don't like the factor of that stuff, but I'm not sure that we're going to really solve any problems with this kind of thing. It just adds another layer of restriction on the people in town. You got Girl Scouts, and you got all these kind of things that are going around, and like you say, you know, they come around, and if you're not home, they stick a thing in your door. So, I don't know. I have a real problem with it, but, so, anyway.
I agree, Dan. I don't think that you're going to change people's behavior in this regard simply by enacting the ordinance. You would have to follow through with enforcement, and code enforcement is expensive.
I don't know. The things in the wintertime when everybody goes off, you know, I used to go in the wintertime. But, and the problem with it, with that shopper thing is you can't shut it off. That's something that goes out every day, every week to everybody in town. And I don't know if that's, does that fall under the what can come under the newspaper thing, the post office could be mailed and have to go in a mailbox. So I don't know. The way that thing's written, you can't leave anything, nothing. So, I just don't like I like the idea of the control of some of that stuff, but I don't like the concept of you're going to tell everybody what they can put out and what they can't. You just can't do that.
I agree with Dan. That just seems like a big hill to climb to be able to mandate that and tell everybody what they can and can't do, the extent of it. And our ordinance guy's not going to be able to handle that to go along with everything else that he's got on his plate right now.
Well, to really make it enforceable, you have to give it teeth. And in order to give it teeth, you got to put a big fine on it. I don't think anybody really wants to put a big fine on it. And it still puts a load on the enforcement guy.
So it sounds like we'll just sort of let this die?
I'm not saying that I agree with the fact that they're laying all over the street and laying, because I don't agree with that either, but I don't think we solve this unless, like Gina said, unless you give it a big bite. And then are we willing to tackle that?
Yeah, I hate to see it do it ourselves. We're going to affect a lot of good organizations out there, you know, that work hard in our community to do things, and it's going to change the whole game, I guess, for them. But
I mean, I don't know if we could send out some type of memo or letter to these. I mean, it's basically the same ones, you know, and just kind of let them know if they're going to do this, at least make sure there's people living in the location to where it's not going to be. I mean, after the second one you see they're laying there, then maybe nobody lives there.
Well, and it might be worth, if the shopper is the big issue with the newspapers, it might be worth contacting the newspaper and finding out if there's something they could do through their newspaper carriers about how those are delivered. I know Ephrata has a shopper that comes out with their paper, and those are delivered to the newspaper boxes or indoors. They're not allowed to leave them on the lawns or the sidewalks.
But if I'm not, I think some of them still do. I mean, I think I still get some by mail.
And, you know, Gina gave me a good idea last time, and I called them up, the one I was getting constantly, and told them I no longer like to receive it, and it stopped. But there was one I was currently getting in the mail, and I noticed in the last few weeks it's been showing up on the front lawn. So we're going to have to make a call to them and say I don't want them thrown on the front lawn.
We can try voluntary compliance. That's what I'm hearing you suggest. Sending them some letters, asking them to help with the issue, and give it 30 or 60 days or 45, and see if it helps. And if not, then bring something back to the council.
Yeah, we don't mind them going about their business, but do it in a tactful way. If you're going to do it in our city limits, you know.
We also, with the issue the mayor brought up about charity organizations or civic organizations, public elected officials, we can look at all of that to incorporate that. So we'd like to bring it back in 30, 45, 60 days or not.
If we can get some voluntary help from the ones that are throwing them out and just let them know what some of the problems are out there and identify it to them and work along with them and see what we can do to solve it first, I think would be a good approach with it.
Where do where do, like, McDonald's wrappers come? You know, I mean, is that covered by this thing? I mean, they throw them out in the yard or throw them out on the street when they drive by, and so you end up picking them up. And so, I mean, are those classed as that kind of thing too? Or, you know, that wouldn't be classed as something like that. That's something that comes with the, something you bought, I guess. So,
advertising.
But what do you do with that? Drive down the road and look at all of them.
Well, good discussion.
I'd agree more with Eamon, just put out a voluntary compliance thing with it and put it up for 45, 60 days and see what happens.
Well, great. Good discussion. Let's go to 4.3, resolution to set building permit fees. Eamon?
Okay. We discussed this with council at the last workshop, and the need, the question was, should we establish a flat rate fee for building construction under a certain dollar amount? Council agreed to do that for construction under, was it 1,000 or 2,000?
2,000.
And $75 was the fee the council set for that. Make sure that you look at the current resolution you have in front of you. We made one minor change. Today, thanks to Councilmember Kaler that brought it up, the increase of $6 will not carry through all of the chart. It was on the first one. You can stop there, Rebecca, at the first one. But we didn't carry it all the way through the rest of it. So, as you can see, this one is corrected. So, if you vote to approve this tonight, this is the one you're voting on. It's $6 difference on the, all of them except the first one. We didn't carry it through. So we did correct that. Thank you, Mr. Kaler. In addition to the flat rate fee, we talked with council about if an independent building permit or independent of a building permit, the plumbing replacement permit to install plumbing to an additional fixture should be a flat rate of $50 per fixture. In addition, $20 fee for a re-roof 100 square feet or less, a storage shed or vehicle shelter under 200 square feet. Again, $20, a place to replace a residential fence, a flat rate fee of $20, window or door replacements of the same or narrow width, and permits for a covered patio, addition to a single family home, should be $50 if approved by the engineer, otherwise it's $150 if the city approves the structural design. So we have followed council's lead and your guidance on what you would like to see relative to permit fees. Establishing flat rates for minimum work. So with that, we would ask that the council consider adopting the resolution.
Questions? Comments?
I so move that we accept as
second.
Okay, Ken Kaler first. Who's the second? Okay, Dan was second. Any further comments or questions? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same. All right, then that passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, award of weed spraying contract amendment. Terry?
Good evening, Mayor, Council. Tonight we're going to kind of read through the weed spraying contract here a little bit, explain it to some people here.
Thought about that all day, didn't you?
Back in March, Council approved the weed spraying contract with Compact Spraying, and for the amount of $28,200. We notified them of the award and the bid, and then we notified and sent out the bid tabulations to the other bidders. What we did find out was a couple weeks later that he couldn't produce a performance bond as per the contract. So we rejected all bids and sent it out for requotes for the job to the same people, and they came back in as low bidder as Basin Tree Service for $22,200 and Outback Spraying Service for $28,200. We're asking council to award Outback Spraying for a few reasons here. As the low bidder sprayed last year, but we had a notification, five of them from the Noxious Weed Board, for not spraying the city right-of-ways, that were in the scope of work. We had some weeds growing in our storm catch basins down here at Broadway and Main and 9th and Rainier. We had some weeds growing in curb and gutter down at Columbia and First, which was visited several times by my staff and myself, and we finally ended up taking DOC down there and cleaning the weeds up because we couldn't get them sprayed. We did send them a letter back on August 2nd, putting them on notice, telling them these areas need to be cleaned up and sprayed, but they finally caught up towards the end of the year and was able to kill everything that we put out there for them. So our staff's recommendation tonight is to ask council to award the contract to Outback Spraying for the weed spraying service.
Questions?
Just a comment here, if I could.
Okay.
The council's considering the adoption that you included in your motion that there were some performance issues relative to the contract last year, which enables you to take the next bidder, not the lowest responsible bidder, as outlined by Terry. And also in Section A, the city attorney pointed out today that the $40,000 should be $35,000 on the bond issue. It doesn't do anything to the bid amount, and then there's a 30-day response after, and then again, instead of 60, can you just clarify?
So do I hear a motion from somebody?
So moved.
Second.
To, okay, we need to make the motion with
Outback Spraying.
Outback Spraying to award the contract of weed spraying.
Because of poor performance of last year's, who are they called in here? What was the name of the company?
Basin Tree Service. Yeah, because of poor performance of provided by Basin Tree Service.
Okay, so Charles is first, Gina's second. Any further questions? Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the same? All right, then that passes. Thank you. Okay, acceptance of public workshop roof bid. Terry?
We put in a request last year for capital for Public Works building to re-roof it. In February, we went out and we had them core sample this roof for asbestos. We asked for a budget on this roof. We got a cost of about $75,000 for the re-roof, and that was to take in the asbestos that they said could be in the roof from the building being as old as it was. So we core sampled it in a couple spots, sent it in, and it came back negative for any asbestos. So disposal of that asbestos and removal of that is quite expensive. So we could eliminate the cost of that. So going out to bid, we sent it out to three different contractors. First one was J.R. Swaggart Company for $37,800. Royal Roofing and Siding Company, $49,900. And M.G. Wagger Company for $58,156. Now, the lowest bidder here, J.R. Swaggart, he has plywood decking and a buck and a half a square foot. Now, this is unforeseen until you pull the roof off for any kind of damage. So this half-inch wafer board that'll go down will be something that you'll be revealed after the old roof is torn off here. So this is kind of sight unseen, but that roof is 12,800 square up there. So on top of this bid right here, you could see somewhere in the neighborhood of, if you did the whole roof, somewhere around 20,000 on top of this cost. But I don't see that happening. I see just a few areas where it's been leaking and there's a possibility of some damage underneath, but we won't know the extent of it until it comes off. It's just something we can't tell what it is. So I'm kind of giving that to you up front, the worst case. I don't see it to go the worst case, but it can. There's only a few spots up there that had some damage to it. So we're asking council tonight to award the contract to J.R. Swaggart for the roof on Public Works.
Any questions? So do I hear a motion to accept the bid from J.R. Swaggart Company for re-roofing the Public Works shop?
Motion.
Okay, Gina first, Ken Kaler second. Any further discussion or questions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, great, that passes. Terry?
Mayor, excuse me, just so council knows, the same issue on the non-lawn payment of $40,000 is 35, and the 60 days is 30 days. It's the same contract, it doesn't affect the price.
Okay. Okay, 4.6, proposed change to council rules of procedures and conduct. Is that you, Eamon?
Thank you, Mayor. The council has a book of rules, procedures, and conduct. In there, there are a few items that we identified for the council that were suggesting changes. The first one is on the very first page, that we insert the new logo, the city colored logo, instead of the old sketch one that is in color. The second change that we discussed at the workshop was in section 2.6, and that's the addition of the city attorney as parliamentarian, and that would delete the city clerk as parliamentarian in 2.7. Section 3.3, a special meeting may be called by the mayor. We talked about deleting that. However, there is an RCW that allows the mayor to call a special meeting. So we're not going to change that. We're going to leave that one alone tonight. I think I sent a copy around, and there's a copy, I think, at the end of your board docs. Catherine sent me a RCW today to explain that. I think you have that. So we would also not be deleting only council members may call and by the mayor. Section 3.5, and the council may take action on items discussed at a workshop meeting. We'd like to add that for the reasons we discussed last time. There may be a necessity, due to the complexity of municipal government today, of needing to vote on our normal workshop nights. Remember, there are only two meetings, two types of meetings, a regular meeting and a special meeting. You can have a workshop and a regular meeting. So we're asking that you include that. We'll try to maintain the status of workshops as much as we can. Then section 8, just a change to a title chapter, and instead of citizens' right communications, to citizens' communication. And then the last section, 8.1, you have that underlined in your agenda memos, and addressing the city council, that be done by raising your hand and being acknowledged. If you want to identify your need to speak to the council, you do that the Thursday prior to the Monday meeting, and you identify your topic, and then of course if you're acknowledged, you state your name and address. And I think that was the last change. However, back to section 3.5, when you're enacting enabling yourself to vote in a regular meeting as a workshop, we would have to change our OMC chapter 2 that identifies the regular meeting as a workshop. So we'd have to bring that back to you if you approve this tonight.
Questions? Okay, do I hear a motion to approve the changes to council rules, procedures, and conduct as presented?
Make that motion.
Okay, Mark Snyder first. Do I have a second? Dan, second.
Second.
Okay, any further questions or discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same? All right, then that passes. Thank you. Okay, 4.7, resolution to appoint official newspaper. Debbie.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Last year, the council awarded the contract for the official newspaper to the Columbia Basin Herald, and that contract expires May 1st, 2012. By RCW, we have to call for bids for official newspaper annually. So we called for bids for the official newspaper last month and received two bids, one from the Columbia Basin Herald for $6 per single column inch, and one from the Othello Outlook for $5.60 per single column inch. The Othello Outlook is the lowest bid and also met the qualifications of the bid specifications. We recommend that the council approve the resolution to award the bid for the official newspaper to the Othello outlet for the term of May 1st, 2012 through May 1st, 2013. Are there any questions?
2 years. No questions? Okay, do I hear a motion to approve a resolution designating the Othello Outlook as the city's official newspaper for 1 year?
Make that motion.
Okay, Gina first.
Second.
Okay, Ken Johnson got the second. Any further questions or discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, that passes. Okay, do we have any unfinished business? New business? Okay, I got some mayor's announcements. We'll have a public hearing on April 23rd to discuss the transportation benefit district with the public for a second time. The council has now had all laptops updated and all email addresses have been updated as well. Please note that your email address remained the same except the domain, othellowashington.us, has been changed to othellowa.gov. Number three, the beautification committee has changed their scope of work. I see a letter from Lynette Crothers in your packets, so make sure everybody reads that and gets back to her if you can. And this Wednesday is the mayor's luncheon at the senior center, Wednesday at 12 to 1 p.m. Everybody's invited. Other than that, anything else from council on this? Okay, this meeting's adjourned. Thank you everybody for coming.
Okay, so two things real quick on this, on that one contract.
This thing turn off?